This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. Let us see if we can learn a little something today. This is an excerpt from my book, Understanding the Science of Reading: Context Matters. Now, we are looking at defining our terms. When somebody asks you, what's the science of reading? What do you say? Is it a process? Is it a set of strategies? An approach or method? A reading program? A group or organization? In this podcast, I'm going to attempt to define the science of reading. And notice, in my writing, I use capital letters. This enables us to differentiate between a science of reading, and it's one of several sciences, and the, quote, science of reading as a proper noun or title. Now, Louisa Moats in 2019 defined the science of reading as an emerging consensus. It, the science of reading, is the emerging consensus from many related disciplines based on literally thousands of studies, supported by hundreds of millions of research dollars, conducted across the world in many languages. Pretty, pretty words. Who could argue with such an important sounding sentence? But what exactly does she mean here? Let's do a bit of unpackerating. Consensus. Okay, consensus is a general agreement about things. Within any field or discipline, there are always a variety of consensuses on all sorts of things. The field of reading instruction is no different. In fact, there are emerging, non-emerging, and receding consensuses on a whole bunch of things going on all the time. It's not a static, monolithic field. Emerging. Emerge means to come forth or to arise from something. Why is it that just now a consensus is forming? The National Council of Teachers of English has been around since 1911. The International Literacy Association, used to be called the International Reading Association, has been around since 1956. And membership in these organizations over the years have included hundreds of thousands of teachers, researchers, scholars, and educators. One would have thought a consensus would have emerged long before now if there was indeed an emerging consensus. Related disciplines. Now, the related disciplines are not identified here by Dr. Moats, but may include fields such as psychology, educational psychology, linguistics, cognitive psychology, and neuroscience. These other disciplines provide depth and dimension to our understanding of the reading process and reading instruction. However, just like reading instruction, these related disciplines are not static or monolithic. At any given time, one can select from a variety of consensuses from a variety of disciplines to support a variety of consensuses within reading instruction. Based on literally thousands of studies, of all the, quote, literally thousands of studies, unquote, it's a mystery as to why so few of the literally thousands of studies are put forward to support science of reading mandates. It's a mystery as well as to why Orton Gillingham, Wilson Reading, Foundations, the American Reading Company, others, and other scripted for-profit products are given a free pass. They're accepted as research-based when, in fact, there's little, if any, peer-reviewed research to demonstrate the product's A, ability to improve students' reading achievement, B, impact on teachers' ability to teach reading, and C, its greater effectiveness when compared to legitimate, meaning-based, balanced literacy approaches or methods. In these cases, we don't need literally thousands of studies. We need literally just a few. So the three big research questions are this. Does that product improve students' reading achievement? Does that product improve teachers' ability to teach reading? And when compared to other similar things, is that product more effective? Those are the big three questions. Now, there is no doubt that each of the for-profit products I've listed have elements within them that can be supported by research. This is true of almost any commercial product. Having research-based components within a product does not make that product research-based. That's like saying, since 60% of my body contains water, I am a lake. It just means that there's research to support certain parts of the product for certain students for certain things. And the last one, supported by hundreds of millions of research dollars, says Moats. Well, this is not something of which to be proud. This simply means there's a lot of money involved, and money always comes with a price. In the case of research related to reading instruction, money comes with the expectation of political or economic return. Well, let's see what Timothy Shanahan, according to Timothy Shanahan, the science of reading is a set of applied research studies. Applied research means it was conducted in a classroom. This differs from basic research, which is conducted apart from the context in which it is used or applied. Dr. Shanahan also said that, quote, the science of reading should refer to all empirical studies of any aspect of learning to read, write, and spell in any language. Now, empirical research is research that's based on the observation and measurement of phenomena as directly experienced by the researcher. However, when we apply the U.S. Department of Education standard to it, we see that the science of reading includes only a single type of empirical study or empirical research. Scientifically based research in education is that which, according to the U.S. Department of Education, quote, is evaluated using experimental or quasi-experimental designs in which individuals, entities, programs, or activities are assigned to different conditions and with appropriate controls to evaluate the effects of the condition of interest, with a preference for random assignment experiments or other designs to the extent that these designs contain within condition or across condition controls. Okay, very good, good, we see this. But this is similar to the standard as well employed by Dr. Shanahan and the National Reading Panel in 2000. The panel wrote on page 7, quote, to make a determination that any instructional practice could be or should be adopted widely to improve reading achievement requires that the belief, assumption, or claim supporting the practice be causally linked to a particular outcome. The highest standard of evidence for such a claim is the experimental study, in which it is shown that treatment can make such things, such changes, and affect such outcomes. Sometimes when it is not feasible to do a randomized experiment, a quasi-experimental study is conducted. This type of study provides a standard of evidence that, while not as high, is acceptable, depending on the study design, unquote, National Reading Panel. Okay, so let's pull it all together then. What is the science of reading? According to Moats and Shanahan, the National Reading Panel, the U.S. Department of Education, the science of reading seems to refer to a general consensus related to the strategies and practices that lead to improved reading outcomes. Now, these strategies and practices have been determined to be effective using experimental or quasi-experimental research and conducted in authentic learning environments. Also, this research has established a causal link between strategies or practices and student outcomes, which in this case is reading achievement. Thus, the science of reading can be thought of as a process that uses these standards when making decisions related to reading instruction and policy. And these standards are, and there's four science of reading standards. One, strategies and practices lead to improved reading outcomes, as determined by research. Two, strategies and practices are supported by experimental or quasi-experimental research. Three, research establishes causal variables between strategies and practices and improved reading. And four, research has been conducted in an authentic learning environment, a classroom. However, the science of reading might best be described today as a self-defined movement that advocates these standards be used for making decisions related to reading policy and instruction. And I just said the four science of reading standards. Now, even though the science of reading standards just describes represents a very narrow and distorted view of reading research, I could live with it if, dramatic pause, science of reading advocates would hold themselves to the same standards. That is, if the programs and policies they advocate were all based on the standards described. Those four standards. Instead, we see the words research-based plastered on products, but very seldom do we see the relevant research. And a good example of this is a product like Orton Gillingham. The Minnesota Department of Education identified this as one of three research-based programs that they allow. Thank you, Minnesota Department of Education. They allow schools to use with struggling readers. Now, there may be parts of Orton Gillingham that research has shown to be effective for some students in some settings for some purposes, but there is little, if any, legitimate peer-reviewed research asking the big three questions about Orton Gillingham. The big three research questions. Number one, does it improve students' reading achievement? Does Orton Gillingham improve students' reading achievement? Two, does Orton Gillingham improve teachers' ability to teach reading? And three, when compared to similar things, is Orton Gillingham more effective? Now, if I've missed some research, please send it unto me and I'll make another podcast. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Andy Johnson.